Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. All I need is one mic. You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time. It's your girl POC. And welcome back to another episode of Revive. It's your girl POC. Thank you for everyone who's tuning in to another winning Wednesday here on the Revive platform. Shout out to everyone who's listening. Once again, you can spread the word and let everyone know we are live on timeforanawakening.com/revive. Once again, that is timeforanawakening.com/revive. And you can also follow us at Revive_POC on both Twitter and Facebook. I am pushing this to the forefront. We are trying to get 1,000 followers on Twitter before June 30th. Once again, we are trying to get 1,000 followers on Twitter before June 30th. So definitely push that blue button. Push that blue button to turn it green, because we are trying to get our followers up on Twitter. And we also trying to get our followers up on Facebook as well. So if you are on Facebook frequently, definitely check out our Facebook page. Harmony the Goddess is holding down our Facebook page each and every day. She's putting information out there for you guys to be educated and also re-educated on a lot of different topics that's going on out here. So definitely stay tuned. Also, we are live tweeting right now. We are live tweeting every episode of Revive. So definitely stay tuned to the timeline. You don't want to miss anything. We are also going to have some amazing guests and also health professionals come on the Revive platform today. Once again, today's episode of Revive is entitled Man Up. Man up out here, you guys. We are going to highlight Men's Health Week today here on Revive, especially what is going on with Father's Day, because Father's Day is coming up this Sunday. So definitely stay tuned. But this week is Men's Health Week. So we are definitely highlighting Men's Health Week here on Revive. Men's Health Week goes from June 12th to June 18th. So definitely stay tuned, because we have a couple health professionals coming on to talk about men's health and how important it is and why men are so uncomfortable to just get checked out. I never really understood, you know, why health and men just don't get along. You know what I mean? Like, a healthy lifestyle just don't get along. A lot of men really think that going to the gym and putting in 100, 200 sit-ups or 100, 200 push-ups is going to make them healthier. Just because they got a six-pack, they good. But at the same time, they got high cholesterol, blood pressure all everywhere. You know what I'm saying? So that's why we wanted to bring that to the forefront today here on Revive, because we want to educate you guys on how to stay healthy. You know what I mean? Not just men, because a lot of things that our health professionals are going to say here on Revive are going to be talking to everyone. You know what I mean? So this is a conversation for all of us, but we are highlighting Men's Health Week here on Revive, because I think that is extremely important for us to do, especially, and you know, as we lose African-American men almost every day, you know, in this world that's going on right now, Donald Trump's America, we are losing so many African-American men every day to, you know, either health, mental health, you know what I mean, violence, a lot of different things that are going on. And we want to talk about it here on Revive. And I think that the health professionals that are coming onto the platform today are going to make a huge impact to the show because of the conversation that they're going to bring on and the education that they're going to bring on. We have nutritionists, we have an actual doctor, and we also have a wellness coach that's going to come on and just highlight different things that, you know, you may not know. And if you already know, you know, just to bring it back up. And if you want to join in on the conversation, you can definitely do so and just give us a call at 215-490-9832. Once again, that is 215-490-9832. I think it's going to be an amazing show surrounded by men's health and just bringing that topic to the forefront, because a lot of people, once again, are very uncomfortable when we talk about health. So I think we need to talk about it. I know we need to talk about it, and that's why we're doing it here on Revive. Also today on Revive, we have our weekly thrill, and today's weekly thrill is entitled Mental Motivation. We have Shaquille Sunflower coming up on the Revive platform to talk about an experience that she had at the Wale concert. You know, she just had an experience that she had at a Wale concert, and she wants to share. She actually did a blog on it. Shout out to Plastic Missiles. She did a blog on Plastic Missiles, and it was an amazing blog. She actually took us walked us through the night, you know, with her words, and it was an amazing blog. We tweeted it out on Revive. Also, if you go check out Plastic Missiles on Revive on Twitter, they also have the blog up there. Also, you can follow her on Twitter at Sister Shaquille, and she has her blog pinned to her profile, so definitely check that out. I think the blog was an amazing blog. It went viral, you know what I mean? It definitely went viral, so we had to have her here on Revive to come on and just explain to us, you know, what exactly colorism is, you know what I mean? Because not many people know what colorism is, and I think she broke it down to a science. She actually did it with words, and she was very creative of how she explained it, you know what I mean? And it was an experience that not just her experiencing, she also experienced it with a friend, you know what I mean? And it was something that she had to tell because she never experienced it by herself. Her friend always experienced this problem, but she never experienced it herself. So that's why we wanted to bring her on today for the weekly thrill, Mental Motivation, to just, you know, motivate us out here about what's really going on, you know what I mean? Because colorism it's starting to become a thing, you know what I mean? I feel like society makes up different words each and every day, you know what I mean? It's something that's going to be made up, I'm sure, in a couple months. But colorism is definitely something that's becoming a thing, you know what I mean? And she's going to break that down for us here on Revive. Once again, shout out to Shaquille Sunflower. She's going to come onto the Revive platform and just tell us about an experience that she had on the Wale, as she had at a Wale concert. I went to the Wale concert in Philadelphia, and I had an amazing, amazing time. So I just want to know what she had, you know what I mean, what experience that she had. And also, I wanted to ask Shuhar as well, because she put out something today on her Instagram. Make sure you guys follow High Level Communication. She put out something on her Instagram today that I think that was very motivating. Yo, Shuhar, what you put out today on the footy streets?
Today on Higher Level Communication, I posted, and it said, stay focused on what you want. So if you guys aren't following Higher Level Communication, be sure to do so. You can follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Higher Level Communication. And Twitter is Higher Level Com. That's Higher Level COMM. But the importance of today's post was just the importance of staying focused and having an end goal in mind and keeping that main thing. So if it's a goal, if it's a dream, if it's a lifestyle, just continue to work towards it day in and day out. And I promise that hard work never goes in vain.
So what you do today to stay focused? You telling everybody else to stay focused. What you do today to stay focused?
I wrote down my to-do list, and I made sure that everything on that to-do list got done. And I also submitted another grad school application. So I definitely have an end goal in mind.
Dope.
How about yourself?
Me, how I stay focused, I just stay focused through adversity. You know what I mean? The universe was knocking at my door today. I swear, it was just so much going on. You guys do not understand how much time it really takes to plan a radio show. You know what I mean? And a lot of things can really just slip through the crevices if you allow it to. And a lot of things can literally roll downhill if you allow it to. But I stood tall. I kept my head up and I kept pushing and I got my show completed. And we're going to have a great show today here on Revive because it's a winning Wednesday here on Revive. So I hope you guys out there who are listening and supporting the platform love today's show because we put in work. The Revive team definitely put in work to make sure that today's show went according to plan, definitely. Also, I just want to reiterate that I am speaking at an engagement with Tabor Community Partners tomorrow, Thursday, June 15th. I will be going live on both Facebook and Twitter. Once again, shout out to my Twitter and Facebook page. Follow me at Revive_PLC. We'll be going live on both Twitter and Facebook around 2 p.m. I'm going to be speaking to a bunch of community leaders, a bunch of community politicians, and also a bunch of community business owners as well, of how we can stay motivated, what we're going to do for this upcoming season, as well as what we should do to collaborate with each other, you know what I mean, as a community, how we can collaborate with each other and not stay so segregated, because we're all literally blocks away from each other trying to do the exact same thing, which is grow and follow our dreams. So we're going to come together tomorrow at a community meeting, and I'm going to be, you know, the moderator of that, and I'm going to be speaking, and I feel like I have some words that I need to get off my chest, definitely. So if you want to see me live, definitely stay tuned, because we are coming live on Revive_POC around 2 p.m. tomorrow, Thursday, June 15th, definitely.
So you're going to be live two times tomorrow, because it's definitely Thursday, and Comments with Consciousness is at 7:30 a.m., right?
Yeah, I'm going live. You know what I mean? I'm trying to stay relevant. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to stay relevant. I'm definitely trying to stay engaged with the community, and I'm definitely trying to stay engaged with my followers and my listeners, because I want you guys to know that I am a real person. You know what I mean? I reiterated that on Comments with Consciousness. I am a real person, and I do, you know, have words, and I do have comments that I want to get off my chest. And sometimes on, and, you know, on the radio, you can't get everything off your chest. So that's why I like to go live and have those comments, you know what I mean, so I can be a little bit more personal with you guys, definitely. But we do have our first guest coming up on the Revive platform. Once again, today's weekly thrill is mental motivation, and we do have Shaquille Sunflower coming up on the Revive platform. She's going to drop some gems and definitely some knowledge about her experience that she had at a Wale concert. So Trueheart is going to introduce her and read off her.
Definitely welcome Shaquille Sunflower. Shaquille Sunflower is originally from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, but she currently resides in Washington, D.C. She is a traveler, a writer, a blogger, and just a lover of all things artsy. Welcome to the Revive platform, Shaquille Sunflower.
And a huge shout out to Plastic Missiles as well. They did. And Shalinda, definitely. They did an amazing job networking and making sure we got together. Hey, Shaquille Sunflower, how are you doing out there today?
I'm great. A little nervous, but I'm great. How are you?
I'm great. How are you? Why are you nervous?
Girl. this is a little different than, you know, just a one-on-one conversation, but I'm so honored to be here. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. So go ahead and tell the people a little bit about yourself and what you do.
As you mentioned, I'm originally from Philly. I live in D.C. I'm a computer geek, so I fix computers all day.
Awesome.
And outside of that, I just, you know, just try to have a great time, try to meet great people, and just, you know, try to have a whole lot of positive interchanges as much as possible throughout the day. It's just, and go to sleep with a smile on my face.
Awesome. So what made you start blogging? What made you start writing?
I've always had a lot to say. I was the only child. Let me throw that in there. So as only children, we entertain ourselves. So when you don't have anybody around you to talk to, you talk to yourself, you write down your thoughts, and it's just always been something that I've done. And so definitely the latest situation that I'm going to talk about tonight was definitely motivation to put that pen to paper.
Awesome. So how did you connect with Plastic Missiles?
Plastic Missiles, the owner of that brand is a great friend of mine. They're like family. I've known him for quite a few years now, and I'm just so grateful to him for providing the platform for me to launch this blog.
Awesome. So what made you start the blog? Like, what made you, you know, say, you know what, I want to put my experiences on paper, you know, and I want to share it with everyone?
Because I know that besides the fact that it was something that definitely touched me personally, but I know that it's something that is – touches a lot of people personally. It's something that's happening all the time within our community, and it's a great topic for conversation. And I know that some people may not have the comfortable space to talk about things like this. So I was hoping to provide that in some way, shape, or form.
Okay, awesome. So go ahead and tell us the story. Like, so what you did on your blog, you pretty much expressed an experience that you had while you were at a Wale concert, correct?
Mm-hmm, correct.
All right, so go ahead and tell us the story.
Long version, short version, which one? The blog goes into every single detail for sure. But basically, my homegirl and I, we won tickets through a promotion on Instagram to his exclusive Unplugged concert. And my homegirl, she was first in line, literally stood in line for over an hour. And when they pulled out the list and was going through the names, they were like, oh, you know, somehow we were listed as associates of Wale. They labeled us as VIP. They gave us the VIP wristbands, hence the title of the blog, when the wristband, the red wristband didn't matter. Escorted us to our reserve section, which was a very nice two-seater love seat. And, you know, everything was great at that point. We're meeting people, we're talking to people, and, you know, we're just feeling the vibe. The venue was nice. And then it was all downhill from there. Basically, within maybe a half an hour, the same person who seated us was like, y'all have to move. And it happened three times because every time she came over, she got distracted because it was just so much chaos with the seating situation. So she would get distracted. She would never come back. And then after the third time, the security guard, whom we had actually got familiar with outside, he went over to these girls that were maybe like 10 feet away from us so we can hear him. And he was saying, hey, I need y'all to get up and switch with them. And we're like, them? Like, oh, man, like, I know they're not trying to get us to get up again. And sure enough, he grabbed the two girls, brought them over to us. The girls were like, well, why do we have to move? You know, came over to us, made us get up and go sit in their seat. And, you know, at first we were like, okay, this is crazy. But then my homegirl, she looked back and she said, it's because I'm not light-skinned. Mm. And at first I was like, okay, you know, she tripping. But I started to notice, I'm like, wait a minute, she might be onto something. Because less than a couple minutes later, the same security guard came back and was like, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to ask y'all to move again. And we looked to our right and there were two other light-skinned girls standing there. And at this point, we're going back and forth with the security guard. The show had already started. Angie Ann from 93.9 was up. And we're like, you know, this is crazy. And, you know, she's going back and forth. And he's like, I need y'all not to make a scene. Like, please just get up. Please cooperate. I'll buy y'all drinks. And we're like, we don't care about the drinks, you know. Anyway, so as not to make a scene, we got up. Two girls took our seats. And from that point on, we didn't have a seat. We had to stand the rest of the night. So the two people who were VIP, had red wristbands, were associates of Wale, had to stay in the rest of the night.
So you actually purchased your VIP tickets?
No, we won them.
Oh, you won your VIP tickets?
Through the Instagram promotion. Mm-hmm.
Awesome. So you won your VIP tickets. So you went to, you know, you went to the concert, you did your thing. So the first time you got up, even the first time they told you to move, this is when the two girls that they were telling to move to switch seats with you guys were even confused about the situation as well?
Yeah, they were looking up at him like, why do we have to move? Because they were actually seated closer to the stage. They're like, no, what's going on? You know, so they were having words back and forth. And he's like, I need y'all to move. Like, he was being, you know, a little forceful. And so finally they got up, you know, I guess so as not to call the scene. So then we switched with them. And so we kind of got settled, like, all right, fine, we can't sit in our love seat, but we're good right here. And then, he came over again and told us we had to stand. And it's not like he said, okay, I need y'all to get up and switch with somebody else. No, at that point, all the seats were taken, and we had to stand the rest of the night.
Wow. So did anyone explain to any, because at the end of your blog, you said that they try to come up and the manager tried to come up and, you know, give you guys some condolences about what was going on. So did he explain to you, or did he actually get a chance to talk to Wale Camp to, you know, to get you guys to be a little bit more comfortable with the situation that was going on?
No, at this point, we stood at the bar, and the lady who tried to move us the first time, you know, we went up to her. Like, we literally were talking to everybody who worked there. Like, look, what is the situation? You know, you're the one that sat us down. How are you going to come back and tell us we got to get up? And all the girls were like, oh, we're just doing what we're told. And we're like, well, who's telling you? And they're like, well, we can't disclose that. And, you know, so my homegirl's like, is it because of my complexion? And they're like, no, that's not it. So what is the reason? Nobody can give us a reason. They just kept saying it's we're just doing what we're told. So at that point, you know, we're making such a fuss that the owner of the venue came up to us and he's like, you know, walk with me to the back. So we go to the back and he's like, you know, tell me what happened, y'all. Like, what's going on? So we then told him the story and he's just like, listen, you know, I'm sorry. Like, this is my venue. I'm sorry that something like this happened here. He was like, you know, what can I do? He's like, look, I'll, you know, drinks on me for the rest of the night. We're like, we don't care about the drinks. Like, you know, we deserve a seat. And he's like, well, look, you know, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to make sure that you do get a meet and greet with Wale at the end of the show. Is that cool? Like, will that help? And we like, all right, cool. So he took us to the bar, got us some drinks. So at this point, we're trying to make the best of it. We're up, we're dancing, you know, we're drinking, we're singing. Because, again, we're fans. You know what I mean? So we're trying to make the best of the situation. Mm-hmm. We're trying not to take it out on Wale personally because we're looking at, like, okay, he probably has no clue what's going on. And then, shall I continue?
Oh no, I'm listening. So, I do want to piggyback up. So, just let everybody know. Once again, we are speaking to Shaquille Sunflower, who's coming onto the Revive platform right now to talk about an experience that she had at the Wale concert. At a Wale concert in the DMV area. This was in DC, right? At Howard Theater.
No, this was at Smith Public Trust in Brooklyn.
Okay, awesome. So, but it was in DC though, correct?
Correct.
Yes, and it was hosted by 95.5 or 93.9?
I honestly don't know who the host was. I mean, 93.9 was present, and okay. They did open the show, so I'm going to assume they were hosting it.
Okay. So, yeah. And then, so what about your friend? How does she feel now, you know, especially after the experience, you know what I mean, at a concert that she won, you know what I mean? You should be excited to go to a concert that you won, you know, free tickets to. You won free VIP tickets. That's an amazing feeling. You know what I mean? And then she gets there. She gets kicked out of her seat, not once, but twice. Mm-hmm. She speaks to the owner, and they say they're going to give her a meet and greet. And then in the blog, you explain to us how the meet and greet went. How did the meet and greet go?
So at this point, you know, his show was over, and might I add, he was doing a second show, and the girls were also saying, well, you know, you guys could stay for the second show if you like, and we're like, are you kidding me? So anyway, so now at this point, the guy is he's offered for us to have a meet and greet. So one of the girls comes up to us, and she says, hey, I heard that, you know, the guy arranged for a meet and greet for you guys. We're getting ready to, you know, have everybody exit the building, but you guys stay behind. If anybody says anything, tell them that you're staying around for the bio. They'll know what you mean by that. So we said, okay. We stood there for about an hour. And within this hour, you know, we're talking to the bartenders, trying to make the best of the time. And just these same girls, they're walking past us. Nobody's acknowledging us. Nobody's saying, hey, you know, don't worry, we're going to get nothing. So eventually, the owner came back up to us and was like, you know, come on, come to the back. So we go back to the back, and we were back there maybe a minute. And then this guy just pops out of nowhere, and he says, let me get your phone. I'm like, okay, so I give him my phone, and another guy comes over, and all of a sudden, Wale comes out of nowhere. It was so dark back there. He was back there the whole time. I didn't even see him. So he comes out of nowhere. The guy positions us on each side of Wale. At this point, nobody has said anything to each other. He positions us on each side of Wale. The guy takes two pictures with my phone. I then say, well, can we get, you know, an individual picture with him? Wale says, they're calling me up. And then he walks off. So that was the meet and greet.
Wow. So overall, what would you say your experience was?
It was horrible. It had the potential to be an awesome night, and it was horrible. It was humiliating. It was degrading. It was disrespectful. It was unprofessional. And you don't do people like that in general, but these are your fans. These are the people. You wouldn't be where you are if it wasn't for us. Definitely. And to just disregard us like that. And the thing about it is we didn't want to think that it had anything to do with complexion or weight or anything that has to do with image. You know what I mean? So that's why we kept asking, like, just give us a reason. Nobody could give us a reason. So you leave us with no choice but to draw conclusions on our own based on what we see around. And what we saw around and looking into the audience was people who had a certain image, because again, the cameras are scanning, you know, the audience for the show.
Definitely.
And they left us no choice but to think that.
So when it comes to, you know, Wale, would you still say that you're a fan? Do you still respect him as an artist? What would be your choices of words that you would say directly to him if you had a chance to?
You know what? That's the question that everyone keeps asking me. And I liken it to this. You know, imagine you have a friend that you know, your homie, and something goes wrong. They do you wrong in some kind of way. You're in a room with them, and there's a group conversation going on about a topic, and they happen to say something that, in your heart of hearts, you agree with. You're like, man, that's a good point. I was thinking the same thing. But you don't like that person. So you're sitting there like, man, do I show that I agree with them? Do I give them props on what they just said? Or do I just sit back and be like, whatever, because I don't like that person? And that's where I'm at with Wale. It's like I'm a fan of his music.
Mm-hmm.
His 2015 album, The Album About Nothing, came out at a time in my life when I was really going through some things. So whenever I listen to that album, it's it puts me back to that time. Mm-hmm. So I had a connection with his music, but so far as him as an artist, that's it. That's where I can't. That's so I'm not a fan of him, but I gotta admit I still have an attachment to the music.
So you cool with him as an artist, but as a person, you don't respect it.
There you go.
Awesome. We do have a caller on the line as well that I want to get to. Definitely.
Okay.
Hey, caller, you're live on Revive. What's your name and where you calling from?
Hey, this is Shalinda from Washington, D.C.
Hey, what's good, Shalinda?
Good, what's good? Glad to be back on the show. Shaquille, question. So, would you be a bigger fan of Wale if he, in fact, just came out and told the truth about him wanting to have a certain image on TV so that it can help his album sales? Because he's known for crying or whining mm-hmm. about not being really popular the way he wants to or whatever. So mm-hmm. if that is, in fact, what his PR team or whoever it was wanted from him, for him to do to sell more or whatever, and he came out and said, yeah, like, yeah, I did that. If he owned it, would you still be a fan?
Again, of his music or of him?
Him. If he was a straight-up dude that said, yeah, I did it like that because of this, and then he turned around and said, you know, but I'm sorry it hurt your feelings, but yeah, I had to do it. Would you respect him anymore?
I always respect honesty. It doesn't mean that I have to like you. Just like in the case of that, if I'm in a room with somebody, if they say something that's on point, I can respect what you just said. I don't have to like you. So I respect, just like I would have respected him if he hadn't popped off on Twitter and accused me of lying and instead just been like, hey, I'm sorry that happened at my show.
That's true.
Or I would have respected him if when we did our meet and greet, had he just said a few simple words like, hey, thanks for coming. But none of that has happened. So therefore, yeah, the respect level was gone. But yeah, I respect honesty. So if he was honest and said, yeah, that's what happened and this is why I did it, I respect that. That doesn't mean I would like him though.
Okay, one more question. So you said that his album in 2015 brought you through a rough time. Now that you hear, you know, maybe Fashion Week or something that's popping right now, would it put you back in a bad headspace?
Absolutely. As all music does. Whatever song you're listening to when something's going on in your life, you're going to associate it with that. So, yes, now, Shine, it's not going to have the same. It's definitely going to be connected with something negative. Every time I go to Smith Public Trust, I'm going to think it's going to associate it with that negative experience. So, yeah, just like that album About Nothing brought me through a rough patch. Yeah, it's a wrap for this album.
Okay. I thank you, Shalinda, for calling in and supporting the Revive platform. I really do appreciate that. But Shaquille, so when it comes to anyone else who's going through this, what would you explain to them exactly what colorism is in your own words?
Colorism is when we associate a certain complexion or we judge a person or we determine how we're going to deal with them, or we already size up their personality based on how we associate their complexion. And it's all driven by the world that we live in. It's all driven by external forces. So the image that a lot of, especially in the music industry, of what beauty is light skin, is long hair, an exotic look, maybe someone that's mixed. And so colorism is when we judge, we determine how you can't sit with us because you're a certain complexion. Mm-hmm. It's whenever we prejudge someone based on how we associate their complexion. And, you know, it's not acceptable. But honestly, we all do it to a degree. And so this situation definitely, it made me do some serious, a serious self-check in myself and saying, okay, have I ever done that? And the next time that I find myself doing it, it's going to be something that will get addressed immediately. Okay. Because now that I've seen it, now that I've experienced it, now that I saw the pain that my friend has gone through, the conversations that her and I have had, it's going to make me so much more aware of it. And I'm going to continue to talk about it. The story is going to die. News always, you know, it's popping mm-hmm. today, it's going tomorrow. The news, but the story the issue is still going to be here. And so I'm going to continue to talk about it. And again, I appreciate you giving me this platform to do it.
I thank you for coming on and telling your story. We need more people like you to tell your story, because we will never know that, you know, something like this is real or something like this is alive if, you know, people mm-hmm. like you don't have the courage to actually speak up about it. A lot of people try to hide so many different things that they experience. And then so when the next person, you know, goes through it, they don't know how to get through it because you didn't express yourself or you didn't teach them how to right. do so. You know what I mean? If you don't right. know better, you right. don't do better. But we do right, have another right. caller, so I want to get to this next caller. Hey caller, okay. You're live on Revive. What's your name? What you calling from?
Hi, my name is Deneen, and I'm calling from Philadelphia.
Awesome. And do you have a question for our guest here today, Shaquille Sunflower?
Well, I actually don't have a question, but a statement. I heard the story, and I read the story, and I thought to myself that whether while I knew what was happening or didn't know what was happening, they were still his people. So that being the case, as anyone in a leadership role, you need to know everything that's going on in your camp, especially mm-hmm. when people that are working for you directly or indirectly may have an effect on your business, your fans, your money.
Definitely.
So when I read the story, I'm thinking to myself, wow, he should have at least been close enough to the situation to know what was happening, you know, outside in the audience.
I agree with you on that.
And I just think that, so as far as I'm concerned, there really is no excuse for him because, you know, I've even heard, and it's kind of far-fetched, but Wendy Williams says she knows everything that's going on in her studio. So as a leader in any type of business, you should know your staff. So that was just a statement. I thought your story was very well written. You took us through that whole scene, and it just was awesome. So thanks for sharing.
Thank you so much, Deneen.
Thank you, Deneen, for calling and supporting the Revive platform. I think what Deneen just said is facts. You know what I mean? She just spit a lot mm-hmm. of facts. Mm-hmm. You know, especially and you're a big name. You know what I mean? Whether you cry about, you know, not having enough mm-hmm. fans or enough people supporting you in what you do, you're still mm-hmm. a big name. You know, when people say Wale, it holds weight. You know what I'm saying? Especially
yeah,
in a DMV area, because you're claiming the DMV area, so you're home at this point. So everybody who mm-hmm. comes and supports you, you need to show nothing but love. You know what I'm saying? Because when you're
Absolutely.
In your hometown, those are the people who got you to be the big, you know, superstar that you always dreamt of being.
Mm-hmm.
So for him mm-hmm. to have, you know, no kind of authority, or him to claim that he knew nothing about what's going on, you know, with you and your friend, I really feel that that's an excuse. You know what I mean? Because like
mm-hmm.
she said, you know exactly what's going on out there. And if you hear
mm-hmm.
trouble, people are like, yo, what's that? And they're going to tell you what's going on. You just didn't ask
yep.
or you stay ignorant to the situation because you didn't really want to know what was going on. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And just to add an update to the story, the name calling him triggered this. I actually received a DM message from the owner of the venue. Hold on, let me pull it up so I can read it exactly how
awesome.
It was written. But he basically said that Wale's camp asked him to reach out to me personally to, hold on, I'm sorry, bear with me. It wasn't Wale's camp that made that decision of you guys being moved, which confirms my story. When they caught wind of it, they had me personally come and speak with you and make it right. The promotion team that was there were the ones who underhandedly did that. So, okay. So, one, make it right. How is this making it right? So now we're passing the blame onto the promotion team. It's still not owning, as Deneen mentioned, what still happened at your show.
Mm-hmm.
There's still no apology. There's still no... regardless of who was in charge of the seating situation or who, it still happened to one of your fans. So when do you take ownership, because it was still at your show, and reach out to the victim, myself and my friend, and say, hey, listen, trust me, my camp is not about this. This is not how we do things. I'm sorry that this happened at your show, but instead you send the owner of the venue to say something. It sounds like damage control to me,
mm-hmm.
but still, once again, it's not It's just getting worse and worse. So again, this is why my respect level for him is just it can't be redeemed.
Definitely.
It's just getting worse and worse. So again, no ownership, no taking responsibility of what happened, no empathy, no sympathy, none of what he claims to stand for.
Well, my opinion, I do hope, you know what I mean, he does reaches out to you, and I do hope he tries to settle this conflict, because in the DMV area, because I'm from the DMV area, and it seems like we flip roles, because I'm now in Philly and you now in D.C., so that's awesome.
Right.
But definitely, I really hope that it gets, you know, resolved, because being from the DMV area, we are super crabs in a barrel, you know what I mean? And that's one reason why I had to escape, you know? But anyway, we're super crabs in a barrel, and I don't want my city to go down like that. You know what I mean? I want us as a collective to pick each other up every time. You know what I'm saying? So if you're growing, I want to support you. If he's growing, I want to support him. And I want us to be able to come together with unity. You know, I want us to unify in so many different ways, because D.C. is the nation's capital. You know what I'm saying? And if we as the people who are surrounding that capital can't get along, why do we expect the White House to respect anything that we're saying? So, you know what I mean?
So we have to
grow, and we have to unify together. But before I do let you go today here on Revive, I do have one last question. Did you ever think your blog was going to get this big? How are you taking the effect of your blog blowing up and going viral like this?
I had no clue. I had no clue. I am aware. I kind of know how it happened. Someone got a hold of it off of Plastic Missiles and tweeted it, and they happened to have a whole lot of followers, and it just kind of blew up from there. So no, I had no clue, but I am so grateful for the opportunity and the experience. And again, I already know the story itself is going to die, but I hope that the people who connected with me through my blog, hang on for the ride, because this is definitely fueling me for some further conversation. And just hang in there with me, support Revive, support Plastic Missiles, and we're going to be all right.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And also, if you can go ahead and tell the people where they can follow you, follow your blogs, if you're going to have any more upcoming blogs that we should read and look out for, definitely let us know.
Okay. Now, all my blogs are always going to be posted on plasticmissiles.com. And I'll just, you know, keep everybody updated on IG. I am Shaquille Sunflower, and on Twitter at Sister Shaquille.
Awesome. And I thank you once again, Shaquille Sunflower, for coming onto the Revive platform and just, you know, telling us, you know, your story, expressing us your experience, and was an amazing time talking to you. I really wish you so many blessings in your upcoming writing. You know what I mean? Because I want to read more. You got some more coming down the line with us?
You.
You got something next week? Something in 2 days?
That's the plan. That's the plan. And best wishes on your speaking engagement tomorrow. I'm definitely going to
thank you.
I'm so excited for you.
Perfect. Thank you. I appreciate your support and supporting the Revive platform. Once again, that was Shaquille Sunflower. She is a blogger. She blogs on plasticmissile.com. So definitely check her blogs out on plasticmissiles.com. They also have a lot of different merchandise, as well as different blogs written by Shaolinda. That's my homie now. You know what I mean? We network crazy. She's my homie now. So definitely shout out to Shaolinda and the whole Plastic Missiles team. Thank you for networking us with Shaquille Sunflower today. Once again, today's mental motivation was just to give us an example of an experience that just went wrong. You know what I mean? An experience that just went wrong. But I do hope Wale steps into the game and just, what's today's show entitled once again? Man Up. You know what I mean? I hope he mans up and just reach out to her and just apologize. A simple apology. Send her a t-shirt. Anything. You know what I mean? We from the DMV area. Show love. That's what we're supposed to be about. Show love, definitely. And Wale speaks a message of nothing but truth, positivity, and love. So I really can't see him, you know, holding on to this, you know, revenge too long, because he did pop off on Twitter. So I know exactly what she said. I was on the timeline like, oh, he got a little mouth right on him. I didn't know he had that kind of mouth. But yeah, so definitely continue to follow Plastic Missiles. Follow my man Shaolinda. Yes, I'm just extremely excited. And definitely Shaquille Sunflower as well as Sister Shaquille on Twitter. I do appreciate her coming on once again for supporting the Revive platform. We are going to go to a quick commercial break before we get our show started. Once again, today's show is entitled Man Up. We will be highlighting Men's Health Week here on Revive. Once again, Men's Health Week is June 12th through June 18th. And shout out to all the fathers out there. Father's Day is coming up on Sunday. If you want to know any father tips or any father advice, True Heart got you. This is what she does here on Revive Higher Level Communication. If you need any tips of what you can do for your father, definitely hit us up at 215-490-9832. True Heart got all the brunch spots. She got all the activities for you guys, so definitely stay tuned. Follow us on Revive. We're live tweeting the entire show at Revive_POC. It's your girl, POC. We right back. I'm going to highlight this Jeff Sessions this Jeff Sessions testimony that went on yesterday on June 13th. This was one for the record books, man. This man couldn't remember. He couldn't recollect or he couldn't recall. How he get away with that? That's not executive privilege. That is white privilege to the forefront, man. I swear it was. But we're going to go to a quick commercial break. Right after this quick commercial break, we do have our next guest coming up. So definitely stay tuned.
Thank you for being here, Attorney General. I want to go back to February 14th and kind of close the loop on the details. Director Comey was here, provided great detail about that day. So what I've heard so far is there was a meeting in the Oval Office on the 14th. You recall being there along with him. At some point, the meeting concluded. The President, everyone got up to leave. The President asked Director Comey to stay behind, correct?
Well, that's a communication in the White House that I would not comment on.
All right.
You
remember seeing him stay behind?
Yes.
Okay. And his testimony was that you lingered, and his view of it was you lingered because you knew that you needed to stay. That was his characterization. Do you remember lingering? Do you remember feeling like you needed to stay?
I do recall being one of the last ones to leave.
Did you decide to be one of the last ones to leave?
I don't know how that occurred. We had finished counterterrorism briefing. A number of people were there, and people were filtering out. I eventually left, and I do recall that I think I was one of the last two or three to leave.
Would it be fair to say that you felt like you needed to stay because it involved the FBI director?
Well, I don't know that how I would characterize that, Senator Rubio. I left. It didn't seem to me to be a major problem. I knew that Director Comey, longtime experience in the Department of Justice, could handle himself well.
So you saw him after that. He characterized it as he went up to you and said, you know, never leave me alone with the president again. It's not appropriate. And he said, this is his characterization, you just kind of shrugged like as if to say, what am I supposed to do about it?
Well, I think I described it more completely, correctly. He raised that issue with me, I believe, the next day. I think that was correct. And he expressed concern to me about that private conversation. And I agreed with him, essentially, that there are rules on private conversations with the president. But there's not a prohibition on a private discussion with the president, as I believe he's acknowledged six or more himself with President Obama and President Trump. So I didn't feel like that's the first. And he gave me no detail about what it was that he was concerned about.
So
I didn't say I wouldn't be able to respond if he called me. He certainly knew that with regard that he could call his direct supervisor, which in the Department of Justice, the direct supervisor to the FBI is the deputy attorney general. He could have complained to the deputy or to me at any time if he felt pressured, but I had no doubt that he would not yield to any pressure.
Do you know if the president records conversations in the Oval Office or anywhere in the White House?
I do not.
Let me ask you this. If, in fact, any president was to record conversations in their official duties in the White House or the like, would there be an obligation to preserve those records?
I don't know, Senator Rubio. Probably so.
Hey, you.
Yeah, you.
Father.
Brother.
Husband.
Friend. When was the last time you got a checkup?
Did you know black men are 2.6 times more likely to die from stomach cancer than white men?
Black men are 2.3 times more likely to die from prostate cancer.
Black men are 4 times more likely to die by suicide than black women.
Did you know that less than half of Americans with a mental disorder seek treatment? But the proportion of blacks who seek treatment is half that of whites.
We can do better. We have to do better.
Because we need you.
I need you.
To be healthy.
To be safe. To stay alive.
Visit your local doctor. Get a checkup. And if you're suffering from depression, please seek professional intervention.
We're counting on you.
Live.
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 Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. All I need is one mic. You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time. It's your girl POC.
And welcome back to Revive. It's your girl POC. Make sure you guys spread the word, spread the message. We are live on timeforanawakening.com/revive. Once again, we are live on timeforanawakening.com/revive. Definitely stay tuned to the timeline as well. We are live tweeting the entire Revive show here on Time for an Awakening, but we are Revive _POC on both Twitter and Facebook. Up next, we do have our next guest on the Revive platform. Truar, who do we have coming on to the Revive platform?
Next up on the Revive platform, we have Dr. Rob Robinson. Dr. Rob Robinson serves as a regular health contributor to local and national talk shows, online and national publications such as Ebony and Jet Magazine, various blogs and news outlets. Dr. Carla and Dr. Rob also host and produce the Urban House Call radio show, which is a weekly radio broadcast featuring information on the health issues most pressing in the urban community, celebrity interviews, and practical ways to make the best health and lifestyle choices. Dr. Rob is a longtime health expert with a wealth of experience in his career. Welcome to the Revive platform, Dr. Robinson.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Awesome. Thank you for coming onto the Revive platform, Dr. Robinson. It's important that we have you on because of the knowledge that you have. If you can go ahead and tell the people a little bit about yourself, that would be great.
Yeah, certainly. So I'm a practicing internal medicine physician here in Charlotte, North Carolina. I've been practicing for just over 15 years now. And my passion is truly addressing men's health issues, especially African-American men, because what we recognize is that we're disproportionately affected by a lot of highly preventable medical issues that are leading to premature death in our men. And I think a big issue is lack of information, what we call health illiteracy, meaning we don't understand, we don't even know the issues that we're facing. And so my wife and I, Dr. Carla, we've made it our mission to ensure that we at least provide the information to try and break down that barrier, break down that knowledge gap to where our people can prosper and be in good health, just as we are intended to prosper and be in good health.
Awesome. So how do you see a way for us to educate ourselves? What is one way that you think that we can educate ourselves when it, you know, just on the health in general? Because it doesn't necessarily have to be men's health. There's just health issues that we're just not, you know, knowledgeable about. So how would you say we can get that knowledge?
Well, you know, I say certainly by platforms such as Revive. I mean, I really applaud you all for doing what you're doing and bringing this message out to the community. I know that we're focusing on men's health in this particular segment, and because this is Men's Health Week and Men's Health Month, actually. But I think we just need to be more engaged and not be so fearful of the healthcare industry or healthcare system. I think that there's a lot of distrust between blacks and the healthcare system, and it's justifiable. I mean, there have been some ills that the healthcare system has imposed on us as a people when you think about the Tuskegee experiment and you know, things of that nature and how blacks have been treated historically. But we can't allow our past to cripple us and impede our future. We have to engage. We have to have dialogue. We have to be willing to sit at the table and discuss the issues that are relevant to us as it relates to our health. Beyond that, it can really just start with the family discussion, knowing what is going on in your family's health, knowing what grandma died from, knowing what granddad, you know, had in the way of health issues. These are things that have become taboo in the Black household. And because we don't have these conversations, we don't even know what we need to be looking out for in our own respective health. And so there are a lot of different ways that we can tackle it. But as I said, certainly platforms like yours here at Revive, the platform that my wife and I have with Urban House Call, and even just having, you know, conversations with your family and friends to really just start the dialogue and you know, get past those barriers, that main one being fear.
So what is one symptom or one illness that you may see that is just reoccurring when it comes to men's health?
Oh, goodness. I mean, unfortunately, there's a number of issues and health disparities that certainly affect our men in our community. A lot of it is dependent upon age. And so when you start talking about our young men, meaning, you know, adolescents to early 20s, a large thing that they suffer from that they don't even recognize they suffer from is depression, okay? And the reason that they don't recognize that they suffer from it is because depression looks differently in men than it does in women. Mm-hmm. So you may not have a depressed mood or be sad or you know, cry or things of that nature, whereas, you know, in a man, you might see more issues of frustration, anger, outburst, violence. And the thing that's so dangerous about depression in men, you quoted a statistic in the intro to this segment, is that when men are depressed, not only do they attempt suicide, they succeed because they have much more violent tendencies as it relates to their suicide attempts, whether it's, you know, a self-inflicted gunshot wound or something like that. And so that certainly is something that is, you know, disproportionately affecting our young men. When we start talking about our middle-aged men, we start to see premature heart disease, high blood pressure, diabetes, stroke, all of which actually go hand in hand are really lifestyle issues. If we exercised more, if we ate healthier diets, if we went to the doctor and got our blood pressure checked and got blood work done, we would know that we have some of these ailments, and then we could start doing things to reverse them. But my thing is, and my stance is, it's always better to prevent illness than it is to try and treat or reverse illness. And so we have to get into that mindset of being proactive as opposed to reactive.
That is true. I agree with that one. But I do have another question. So when it comes to, let's just for example, you know, not a lot of us, you know, have health coverage because, you know, what's going on in today's America. So when it comes to the men who doesn't necessarily have health coverage to go to the doctors or to follow up with different physicians for, you know, things or illnesses that they may have, what would be one suggestion that you would give to the people who are not covered?
Yeah, certainly. So, I mean, it's just like anything else. I mean, if it's of value to you, you'll find a way to do it, okay? There are people who, you know, truly can't afford the homes they live in or can't truly afford the cars that they drive, but when it comes down to it, they make a decision to do it. And so the same has to apply to your health. I mean, if you're really serious about making sure that you're alive and well, living for your family, here to provide for your wife and kids, if that's your situation, or just here to be a resource to family and friends and to the people that you love, then you're going to need to find a way to invest in your health. Certainly, you can try to go to your local county health department. Typically, they offer free services. A lot of times, it's a little bit more challenging to get in just because they can be overwhelmed because there are so many people who don't have health coverage and that are, you know, tapping into that resource. But as I said, you know, as adults, we make decisions to do what we want to do, and we invest in what we think is important to us. We just have to realize that our health is the most important asset that we have and begin to invest in that as opposed to some of the other things and of life that we tend to put on a pedestal, some of the material things that we think are so important that really, you know, are of no value if you're not here to enjoy them. So you really have to invest in your health.
Okay, and I think we do have a caller on the line as well. I'm going to get to this caller. Hey, caller, you're live on Revive. What's your name and where you're calling from?
I'm Kevin McPherson, and I'm calling from Philly.
Okay, awesome. Give us 1 second. You're actually our next guest coming up. But to get back to you, because we did have a question from Twitter that someone asks. They said, hey, POC, I drink a lot of sports drinks such as Gatorade and Powerade. Can you ask a doctor, do you think that is affecting me and my health?
Yeah, so certainly, you know, those drinks are meant to replenish the you know, the professional level athlete. Okay. And so if you're using them in the setting of after working out, after doing a really vigorous exercise routine, then generally speaking, it's okay. Now, of course, too much of anything is a bad thing. And the problem with a lot of these sports drinks, whether it be Gatorade or Powerade or whatever aid you want to, you know, name, is that they're very high in sugar. And that's how they actually give you that energy burst that you need when you're in the midst of a vigorous activity. So what we know is that, you know, consuming sugar has a lot of detrimental effects on your health. It causes your insulin levels to spike. And when your insulin levels continuously spike time and time again, it increases your risk of becoming resistant to insulin, which means that you then can develop diabetes. And so the short answer is, yes, drinking too much of those sports drinks can impact your health. It can certainly lead to high sugar in your bloodstream, high insulin levels, and ultimately, potentially, you know, insulin resistance or ultimately diabetes. So everything in moderation is what we advise. But in excess, yes, it can be bad for your health.
And what about coffee? What about coffee for men? How does that affect them?
So you know, the jury is kind of out on coffee. There was a study a few years ago that actually suggested that a cup of coffee a day might decrease the risk of prostate cancer in men. However, that being said, when you started to look at other factors that these coffee-drinking men had, they might have just been overall healthier men to begin with, rather than the coffee truly being a benefit to their health. You know, personally, I'm not a coffee drinker. We do know that coffee, it does have addictive properties. Caffeine is addictive. I don't care what anybody says or anyone tells you. It is truly addictive, just as addictive as, you know, a street drug, whether you want to, you know, compare it to cocaine, heroin, whatever you want to do. Caffeine has addictive properties because it acts on receptors in the brain. And by acting on those receptors become basically, they become normalized to it. They expect for the caffeine to be around, and when it's not around, you go into withdrawal, actual true physiologic withdrawal. So personally, I'm not an advocate of coffee. I'm not an advocate of caffeinated drinks in general. Again, in moderation, it's fine, but the issue is that because of the addictive properties, so many people end up drinking it, you know, cup after cup or, you know, multiple cups in a day. And then again, that does have health consequences. In addition to just being addictive, it can lead to heart palpitations or an irregular heart rhythm. It can impact blood pressure levels. And so, again, I'm not a big advocate of caffeinated drinks, whether it's coffee or soda or whatever you may choose. I'm just not a big fan of them.
Okay, and you mentioned prostate cancer. If you can define that for us, just for people who may not know exactly what it is, they may have heard of it before, they don't know the exact definition. If you can define that for us, that would be amazing.
Sure. So the prostate gland is a gland that only men have, and it rests down in your pelvis, and it actually is the gland that's responsible for producing semen, okay? Not sperm, but semen. And, you know, that's a whole nother, you know, discussion and you know, details beyond what this conversation may warrant. But in essence, it's a gland that all men have. And what we do know is that over time, most men will have either enlargement of their prostate or at some point even develop cancer of the prostate because the gland just continues to grow with age, okay? Now, unfortunately, in Black men, when we develop prostate cancer, we tend to have more aggressive forms of the cancer, meaning that we have forms of it that tend to spread to other areas of the body, and more of our cases end up being deadly than in other groups, whether it be Caucasians or Asians or Latinos or whomever else we're comparing ourselves to. And so the issue with this is that, you know, you should be getting screened for prostate cancer at least by age 40. Now, some organizations recommend age 50, but I think in Black men, we need to be a little bit more proactive, again, because we tend to have more aggressive forms. And so it's my practice and my recommendation that we begin screening at age 40. Now, if you have a family history of prostate cancer, then you need to begin screening even sooner, depending upon when your family member was diagnosed. And so, for example, if you have a family member who is diagnosed with prostate cancer at age 40, then you might need to start getting screened at age 30 because you have a higher risk than the general population. And so in a quick nutshell, that's what prostate cancer is. I think a lot of men are fearful of the exam that is required to evaluate for prostate cancer, because it does require that the clinician insert a finger into the rectum to actually examine the prostate gland. And as we know, you know, men shy away from doctors in general, but certainly shy away from that particular exam. But again, my mindset is, if it can save my life, I'm willing to do it. And so that needs to be the mindset of our men in general, is that you want to live and not die. And what is it going to take for you to live and survive and be around for your family and friends? And if it's an annual exam, by all means, just get it done.
Definitely. I agree with you on that one. Once again, we are speaking with Dr. Rob Robinson out of North Carolina today. He is on the Revive platform today highlighting Men's Health Week. Once again, Men's Health Week is from June 12th to June 18th. He is pretty much just dropping a lot of gems and knowledge on us surrounding that topic of men's health. But before we let you go today, Dr. Robinson, what would be some tips that you will leave for us here on the Revive show, and for all the men who are out there listening, what would be some tips that you will leave today?
Yeah, certainly. So I would say, first and foremost, just get a primary care doctor that you trust, respect, and that you know is serving your best interest. I mean, this is a relationship that hopefully you'll have, you know, lifelong. And it's important that at the very least you start seeing a primary care provider and know what you're at risk for. I would also recommend, you know, as all doctors are going to recommend, that you diet and exercise regularly, because what we do know is that a lot of the issues that we face, men, women, black, white, whomever we are lifestyle related. And so if you can eliminate as many health risks or health factors as you can just by eating a healthy diet that's high in fruits and vegetables, high in fiber, low in saturated fat, and exercise, you know, 30, 45 minutes a day, at least 5 days a week, that actually is going to prevent a lot of the illnesses that we're facing, including prostate cancer, including high blood pressure, including diabetes, heart disease, stroke. All these things are highly preventable. And so my two major tips would be, you know, to embrace a healthy lifestyle, get a primary care doctor. And then lastly, I would say, find somebody that you can talk to about your health issues and concerns. What you'll find, or what you'll realize, if you start talking amongst, you know, your friends, other men of your age, a lot of us are experiencing the same things. And so a lot of times we're more comfortable once we realize that we're not the only ones experiencing it, and it makes us more prone to do something about it. So those would be my three main tips for men who are listening to the show on this evening.
Definitely. And I definitely agree with you with the last one. Communication is important. You know what I mean? If you don't never express it, people will never know what's going on with you. So I definitely agree with that last tip. But if you can go ahead and tell the people where they can find you, your social media or your website, how they can listen to your radio show that you have with your wife as well, that would be super dope.
Yes. So all of our handles are at Urban House Call. That's Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, everything. That's at Urban House Call. As it stands right now, we're on hiatus from our radio show, but you can certainly look for us on the Roland Martin News One Now program. You can look for us on local television here in the Charlotte area on Charlotte Today. As I said, we do pretty much regular segments with Ebony Magazine as health contributors to that. But again, if you just Google or go to any of the social media outlets at Urban House Call, you'll find us there.
Awesome. And once again, I do thank you, Dr. Robinson, for supporting both you and your wife, supporting the Revive platform here today. It means a lot for you guys to come on and actually support us. That means a lot. Thank you. And I wish you so much success in your future endeavors.
Thank you. Same to you. It's our pleasure.
Have a good one.
You too.
So once again, that was Dr. Robinson out of North Carolina. He is a doctor. He is a professional when it comes to men's health. He touches on men's health on a lot of different platforms each and every day. He's an advocate for health in general and just living a healthy lifestyle. I do thank him and his wife for supporting the Revive platform here today. That meant a lot, because they did a lot to come onto the show today. So I definitely appreciate them and their support. Once again, we are celebrating Men's Health Health Week here on Revive. Once again, shout out to all the fathers who are tuning into the Revive platform today. Happy early Father's Day for you guys. Once again, National Men's Health Week is observed each year leading up to Father's Day. This week is a reminder for men to take steps to be healthier, but they do not have to do it alone. Trust me, that's why we are here on Revive. You do not have to do this by yourself, whether it's your husband, your partner, dad, brother, or son, and it could just be a friend. You know what I mean? Make sure you're out there supporting them in a healthy and a safe environment to make sure that they get their life in order and they are ready for this healthy lifestyle they're about to endure. It is important that we are all healthy out here so we can stay alive and we are kicking and we are breathing. You know what I mean? We also have to learn the right techniques of breathing. My sister Tab Money, shout out to Tab Money. She teaches me every time, like, yo, you're not breathing right. I could just be talking. You're not breathing right. So definitely we have to learn how to properly breathe too. It is a technique to breathing, you guys. That's why you guys are tired when you get up the steps, because you ain't breathing properly. So definitely stay tuned to Revive platform. We're going to continue to bring up topics like this so you guys can know what is going on, as well as just keeping you guys mentally, spiritually, and emotionally, you know, in line, and physically in line as well, just keeping everything in line. We do have two specialists coming on, two health specialists coming on to the Revive platform too up next, so definitely stay tuned. We're going to go to a quick commercial break. Right after this quick commercial break, we'll have our next two guests coming on the Revive platform. You know what time it is.
Closer look at 12 foods that can strengthen your bones and put that spring back into a man's step. 1. Eggs. Scrambled or boiled, eggs can provide you with a bountiful supply of vitamin D. This vitamin plays a key role in how well a man can sustain a normal level of testosterone in his blood. It's recommended that you eat 1 egg per day, but those who have trouble with cholesterol should skip the yolk. 2. Garlic. With its powerful antifungal, antiviral, and antibacterial properties, this anti-aging superfood can help you fight off illness and infections. Just add it to any of your favorite foods for a flavor boost. 3. Honey. Instead of reaching for sugar, choose a small spoonful of honey as a substitute. Add it to your tea, oatmeal, or pancakes. Honey's antioxidants can strengthen your immune system and help you win the battle when infections strike. 4. Watermelon. A juicy watermelon is a great summer treat, but it can also improve blood circulation and your entire circulatory system. Eat it as a snack, add it to salad, or whip up a sorbet. 5. Cauliflower. Adding a small amount of cauliflower to your daily diet can reduce estrogen while boosting testosterone. 6. Grapes. By eating a handful of grapes a day, a man's testosterone levels will rise and sperm activity will also increase. Additionally, the nutrients in grapes can slow down the aging process. 7. Oysters. Oysters are little vaults stuffed full of vitamins and minerals that enhance your heart's health and boost your immune system. Just sprinkle a little lemon juice and salt to preserve their nutrients. 8. Meat. Too much meat isn't beneficial for your health, but it does play a significant role in increasing testosterone levels. Just be sure to eat meat that's organic and has come from a grass-fed source. 9. Beans. Beans can be added to most any side dishes, soups, or salads. These heart-healthy foods also help men maintain normal testosterone levels. 10. Tuna. Vitamin D-rich tuna is good for your heart, but just remember to buy tuna that has not been exposed to mercury. 11. Pomegranates. Pomegranate juice is an excellent source of potent antioxidants, which can tackle free radicals before they can disrupt circulatory functions. Also, the International Journal of Impotence Research states that nearly 50% of impotent men notice their condition improved after drinking only one glass of pomegranate juice. 12. Cabbage. Men who eat cabbage ingest the chemical indole-3 carbinol, or IC3, which eliminates female hormones. A Rockefeller University study noted that men who consume 500 milligrams daily for 7 days saw their estrogen levels cut in half.
Okay.
And welcome back to Revive. It's your girl, POC. Make sure you spread the word, spread the message that we are live on timeforanawakening.com/revive. Or you can go to TuneIn and download the TuneIn app and just search Time for an Awakening. Or you can just go to TuneIn.com and just search Time for an Awakening as well. Or you can follow the Revive timeline on both Facebook and Twitter. We are live tweeting the entire episode of Revive today on this winning Wednesday here in Revive. Once again, today's show on Revive is entitled Man Up. Man Up, everyone out there who's listening. This show right here is for all the men out there who are just uncomfortable and don't feel safe, you know, when it comes to seeing a physician or when it comes to getting a physical every year or when it comes to getting a checkup every year. Definitely, this is why we have different health professionals on today on the Revive platform to just encourage you guys, motivate you guys, and educate you guys on the reason why you should definitely stay healthy. And just choose a healthy lifestyle. Choose a healthier lifestyle, definitely. So, Truar, who do we have coming onto the Revive platform today?
Next up on the Revive platform, we have Kevin McPherson. Kevin McPherson is a graduate of the Institute for Integrative Nutrition in New York and is an American Association of Drugless Practitioners Certified Holistic Health Counselor. He is a certified natural health professional. And in addition to nutrition counseling, Kevin facilitates nutrition, lifestyle, and wellness seminars and workshops in recovery houses via the Behavioral Health Special Initiatives Program, Core Services, and does weekly seminars at the West Branch YMCA of Philadelphia. Kevin McPherson, welcome to the Revive platform.
Hello, how are you?
How are you? Awesome. I'm going to introduce the next guest. Once I introduce the next guest, we're going to get this conversation on the roll.
That's fine.
Next up on the Revive platform, we have Dr. Hagan. Dr. Hagan is the director of the Academy of the Cultural Arts and Life Sciences. It is a school that trains people in the art of natural living. He is a graduate of the Gibran Institute. El Hagan became interested in wellness techniques as a result of a strong desire to get rid of chronic ailments he had as a teenager. He has been involved in the Essence Healing Arts for 34 years. This interest has taken him around the world on a journey of discovery about herbal systems, healing methods, and wellness strategies. Dr. El Hagan, welcome to the Revive platform.
Greetings, and thank you for inviting me.
Awesome. I'm excited to have you on the platform. So if you can go ahead and introduce yourself to the listening audience, that would be perfect. Dr. El Hagan?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Greetings, everybody. This is El Hagan. And I'm involved in transformational healing processes. So basically getting a person to know themselves and to know what kind of resources are on the earth that would support them, i.e. herbs, air and breathology, the science of water and what it is able to do for you, and the whole understanding of the timing of a person's life cycle and what is to be expected in the growth and development of a living being.
Awesome. And Kevin, what do you do? Can you go ahead and introduce to the listening audience what you do exactly as well?
Well, essentially what I do is I present workshops in West Philadelphia at the YMCA. I used to work there. But now what I'm doing is I still do reflexology, which I actually learned from El Hagan. And I talk about nutrition in general, and I teach a nutrition course as I'm working through the city. I have a job with the city, and I do workshops for them. So I'm with BHSI, which is Behavioral Health Institute, Behavioral Health Special Institute, and I actually present once an 8-week program on basic nutrition through that platform.
And when you say city, you're referring to Philadelphia, correct?
Philadelphia is where I am.
Awesome.
Yep.
So, Kevin, in your intro, you said that you know, you learned from Dr. El Hagan. You guys know each other? That's awesome.
Yes.
Hi, Kevin.
Hey, man, what's up?
So this makes the conversation even more interesting and definitely organic because you guys know each other. So my first question is going to be to you, Kevin. Why did you go into, you know, your study? Why did you go into wellness coaching and, you know, teaching nutrition and things like that?
I was finding that I was getting a lot of mystery meat when I was over at Lincoln University. They would serve stuff. Nobody knew what it was. It was just meat and gravy. And you really couldn't understand what was going on with the food. So I began to look into health and wellness at that particular point in time. And since that time, I've actually just kind of grown little by little by learning different things and studying different things to get to the point where I can actually teach nutrition. I made a major step by going to the Institute for Integrative Nutrition, where we studied very intensely all the various philosophies on eating and theories and things like that. And I did that over the course of a year and got certified in nutrition, and I've been teaching it ever since.
Awesome. And what about you, Dr. El-Haggan? What got you started in your practice?
Well, back in 1970, I had gotten sick with a case of chronic tonsillitis. I actually had it a lot, and it would knock me down for about 3 weeks at a time. And every time I would go to the hospital, they would give me different drugs, and it would take me about 3 weeks to get well anyway. But one day they told me that I had taken all of the amount of drugs that they could offer me and that I needed to get cut on, or else it was a good possibility I could die. Well, I got angry at that point because I figured, if I'm trusting you guys to get me well, then what are you doing? And why do I have to go under the knife now? I said, well, you know what? Forget this. I'm going to find my own way. They said, well, you're not a doctor. I said, well, I will be. So after going through the process of, actually, I had two different understandings. One was that meditation was able to help you. I didn't know how, but I felt that I should do that meditation and try to bring myself into wellness. And then one of the people up there told me that I needed to drink a lot of water and make some elderberry jelly and dissolve it in heat and drink that and sweat myself so that I could throw that sickness off. Well, I used that technique. I realized later on that I didn't need the jelly, but I learned how to get rid of that kind of sickness. The first time it took me 3 hours. The second time it took me 2 hours. The last time it took me 1 hour. Mm. And then I had never been sick again from that time. But then it got me fascinated in learning about how the body actually works. And I've been on that kind of mission ever since. So in the process of learning those things, it kind of put me in touch with different kind of natural healers. And in following them around, it kind of caused me to start traveling around the world and going into environments where people knew about herbs and learning that science.
Okay. And one thing that you just said that stood out to me is that, you know, you listen to your doctors, you listen to the different physicians, and they told you to do certain things. But now that they want you under the knife, you're like, hey, I'm going to find my own way to, you know, to solve my problem that I'm having. So that's something that I tend to see a lot when it comes to African-American males. They tend to shy away from the doctor and think that they can find their own way. Why do you think that men are so intimidated, if not intimidated, they're scared, you know, to say the least, to go to the doctor or to go to see a physician? Why do you think that is? And I'm going to pose that to Dr. El-Haggan.
Well, I find that many people think that the doctor is their last hope, and I find them more afraid to indulge themselves in a study about the body, because a lot of times their anatomy classes or chemistry class or the science class, any science class in many cases people have been going to the public schools. And I think, I believe within my heart of hearts, that the sciences were taught to them in a way that would make them hate the sciences and run away from them. I believe that this is part of a larger conspiracy, because if you make those things interesting, people will gravitate towards them. And the amount of hygiene class in school is so minuscule and it's so watered down that it doesn't foster an interest. So people really don't know where to turn. And then the thought of going to a hospital, in many cases, you are faced with people that do lie to you. Because a lot of the people that are doing that kind of work don't really know they don't really understand. And the whole business of bedside manner, because the first thing we do is try to stop a person from worrying. Look, there's some hope. So let's slow down and let's look at this thing intelligently.
Okay. And what about you, Kevin? What's your opinion? Why do you feel as though that, you know, African-American males tend to shy away from different healthcare advisors or professionals?
Well, again, when you're asking about healthcare, there's a difference between healthcare and doctoring.
Mm-hmm.
Doctors tend to, as El Hagan just said, they tend to not give you the right information all of the time. If you look at the word ology, most of the time that's a study of. And so they're in the process of studying information. They're not necessarily handing out information. So you find doctors are not really able to actually provide you with what it is that you need. In ancient societies, a lot of times you did not pay your doctor until you got well.
That's
true. If you try to do that, in these days, you probably won't get any health care at all. So I think that what it is that people do is they tend to go with what they feel comfortable with. And so you have to find someone who's very, very comfortable, that you're very comfortable with, and to be able to follow that. Also, a lot of the people, at least African Americans, used to deal with, quote unquote, witch doctors. And that's from, you know, back in ancient history, that's who they dealt with, and that witch doctor actually knew what to do. Doctors here, they're not necessarily clear about what it is to help people with, and as a result, people tend to just be cautious about going to a doctor, if at all.
So could you break down that, Kevin, before you started talking, you said that there's a difference between healthcare and doctoring. Could you break that down to a science for us, too, so we can truly understand?
Well, if you're going to healthcare is actually making sure that you are healthy, that you are well, that you are doing all of the stuff that breathing, you're drinking water, that you're not drinking coffee, that you're eating fresh foods, that you're eating organic foods, that you're eating, you know, everything that you have on the planet is actually going to provide you with health, and so that's going to be good. That you're breathing properly, as I think. I heard a little bit earlier, that you have to breathe properly. Doctors tend not to deal with doing all of that. In fact, a lot of them think that what it is that wellness people do is actually hocus pocus. And so you can be sued if you're out doing wellness and you're not necessarily a doctor. So you just have to be careful with that. So doctors tend to focus on their sciences, and wellness people tend to focus on your health.
Okay, so there's a difference between sciences and healthcare? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, there is. There is a major difference between science and healthcare. But there are times when you find someone who's going to be able to bring them together, and that's the people who actually are doing well in the wellness community, and especially with Black people.
Okay, that's something that I learned. I didn't know that there was a difference. I thought it all intertwined with each other.
Mm-mm. No.
But it depends a lot on who's presenting it. Because
exactly.
Like the people that, like in many of the countries where I went, and I would go into what they call the bush, and I would meet people that were very, very skilled in natural medicines, indigenous medicines, and they really, 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 really had a type of ancient science that was different than the Western science, but it was no less profound, and it produced exact results, and it required a lot of study to get those kind of understandings.
What were you going to say, Kevin?
No, I'm just I'm agreeing with El Hagan.
So,
go ahead.
So, when it comes to men's health, what is one thing that you guys have seen? I'm going to start with you, Kevin. What is one thing that you guys have seen throughout your practice? Is one main symptom or one main health issue that you know is affecting our African American males each and every day?
Well, I would probably say now that a lot of people, because this is probably out on the wire a lot more, is diabetes. And diabetes is basically a concern with digesting sugars or drinking water. If you have diabetes, essentially you have too many processed carbohydrates in your system. A lot of people who are telling me that they're not going to eat a whole bunch of carbs, but I have to eat fruit, I have to eat vegetables. Hold on. Fruits and vegetables are carbohydrates. A lot of people don't know that. I don't know why, but they don't. If you're eating fresh fruits and vegetables, for the most part, that's going to help you. And diabetes is from eating spaghetti, white rice, drinking sodas, eating candy, eating potato chips, eating any type of chip that is dried out so that you don't have any moisture in it. Essentially, you get diabetes because your body needs to have certain things to digest the food that you eat. So you need to have vitamins, minerals, enzymes to actually digest the food that you're going to eat. And you need to have some water with that food, okay? Potato chips don't have any of that. Candy doesn't have any of that. It has some, but it's not really enough to actually digest itself. So if you take, for example, a piece of apple candy and an apple, which one's going to be better for you? Well, some people would say, you probably need to eat the apple. Well, yeah, because it has vitamins, minerals, enzymes inside the food, and that's going to help to digest that food. Also, you can see that it's going to begin to digest it because if you cut that apple in half and set one half on the table and you ate the other half, you'll see that the half that's set on the table begins to turn brown. That's enzymes actually digesting the food. So there are enzymes in the food that will help digest it. If you take a piece of candy or a piece of apple candy and put it on the table, it may sit there for years or months or days, but it's going to sit there because it doesn't have anything actually breaking it down. So diabetes tends to be a major factor in these times because people are steadily eating pastas, rices, and things like that, white rices as opposed to brown rice. And that tends to cause a lot of diabetes, and they don't drink any water, and so that tends to cause a lot of problems with their overall health because they have to drink some water. I would tell them to drink half your weight in ounces daily minimum.
Kevin, you just hurt my feelings.
Why?
I eat candy. I'm a candy eater. I do sweet all the time. Why? And True Heart says I love chips. We both was in here looking at each other like, dang, he just hurt both of my feelings. Because she eats chips and I eat candy because I don't do caffeine. And I do a lot, you know, I do a lot throughout the day. So to stay awake, that's my supplement. I go to, you know, sugar.
If you ate fruit and vegetables and if you got your exercise and you got your sleep, which is going to be critical overall to get your rest, you will find that you will have a whole lot more energy and you won't need to eat a whole bunch of junk food. So when you're eating junk food, that's the way for you to head towards the diabetes world. So that tends to be what I hear, and that happens for both men and women. It's not just men, but it, especially with men. But women also have a diabetic problem with the black community.
Oh, talk that talk, Kevin.
And along the same lines as that, the in the commercial environment, which in this country is all about how much money can be made off of the food. The food is not a food for nourishing people. It's a commodity, and it's a economic product. So when you're in a product environment, and especially the fact that you're not growing anything, and you eat whatever they throw at you and pretend that it's going to be good for you, because when you grow up, as soon as you are upset, somebody gives you something sweet to eat. So you develop an addiction for sweetness. And then instead of drinking water, soda is more appealing because it has that kind of burning activity, and then it's got a whole host of chemicals that are all actually drugs. If you read the ingredients on the can of soda, you're looking at a legal drug. A lot of the cereals have legal drugs in them, like calcium propionate, BHA, BHT. The BHA stands for butylated hydroxyanisole. And since nobody can pronounce it, it's just BHA, but it's a drug. And so after taking so many drugs, people become living drug addicts. And just like the whole business of feeding little children candy when they're on the way to school and they go into stores and buy all that candy, the candy actually creates alcohol because they already ate some pancakes, they ate some rice, they ate some oodles of noodles, they ate some popcorn, they ate some pretzels. So when you take grain and you put sugar on it in a solution and there's a certain heat applied, it produces alcohol, does it not? The children are drunk, basically, in school, bouncing off the walls. Now the teachers are real frustrated because they can't get the children to calm down. And then the children are angry because the teachers are not teaching them what they feel that they need to understand. So there's all kind of frustration being added to the picture. And then picture people are still eating more and more and more and more drugs. And that's without even talking about the things like Tylenols and all of these
drugs.
The drugs in the food prepare you to become a drug addict in life, whether it's street drugs or whether it's convenience pharmaceutical drugs. Your whole body chemistry becomes altered after a while until it doesn't even recognize itself.
That was major, especially the point that you made about alcohol libation. That was super major. That's something that you just taught me something. I did not know that at all. But we do have a question on Twitter that I would like to ask. It's kind of a funny question. Someone said, hey, it's a rumor I heard that diabetes caused you to have black toenails. Is that true?
It's not so much that it's diabetes that does it. A lot of times that couples, if you see black toenails, you already know that the blood is getting dirty, really, really dirty. And since the toenails are the farthest point away from the heart, and all of that dirt begins to settle by gravity down into the lower foot, and your circulation slows down, that's why a lot of times you see it accompanied with diabetic conditions. And then it's an indication of circulation issues. It's an indication of quality of blood issues. And it's also an indication of people not going to the toilet enough and efficiently. So they might have a bowel movement like once every week or once every 2 weeks, when you should be having it 3 to 5 times a day.
That I appreciate that one. Definitely. You just taught me something on that too, because not talking about my black men, but a lot of our black men out here, their feet are messed up and they tend to have black toes. And you just taught me a couple of reasons why they would necessarily have, you know, the black toenail. What about you, Kevin? What would you say to that?
Well, I think he's right on point. I know that you have to constantly clean your blood, and so, you know, one of the other additions to that is that people don't walk. People ride. People got to ride. So they ride around and do this and that and the other, but you know that your second heart is in your leg. Your second heart is in your soleus. So when you walk, you actually are pushing the blood back up through your heart, because that's how the blood goes from your leg back up to your heart, because there's no heart down there. When you pump the blood goes down to the leg, or to all over the body, really, but down to your leg. And for you to get it back up, you have to walk. And so when you walk, it actually pushes the blood back up through the leg. And so that's how you get venous blood to return from the far extremes. So, I wasn't certain about that, but I think that's a pretty good point that, you know, that the blood is dirty down there, and so it actually manifests in the toes, and it looks like it's black, but that's really what the problem is. So that makes sense.
Yo, Kevin, you said something that we on this side of the, you know, we on this side don't really understand. You said your soleus. What is that? If I said that.
The soleus is a muscle that's behind your gastrocnemius, and you know the bulge in your leg, not in your calf. In your calf, there's a bulge in your leg, correct?
Okay,
that's your gastrocnemius. It's a two-part muscle that's in your leg. Underneath that muscle is called a soleus. And the soleus is actually pumping the blood back up through your leg back up to the heart. So that's what a soleus is. So you have a heart in your chest, which pumps the blood down, and then it's not a forceful pump, but it's forceful enough to get the blood back up into your heart so that it then cycles around all the time. So that's what the blood is. That's what that soleus muscle is. And when you walk, if you're walking properly so that you're putting heel toe, which is the way you should walk, heel toe, when you come off of your toes, that's actually pressing that muscle to squeeze the blood back up into your heart, and so it's a constant thing. So as a result, you get the blood to come back into your heart, and as a result, that helps to clean out the blood. And so it's a matter of circulation, which is what El Hagan had said earlier.
Okay, thank you for the explanation. I appreciate the explanation. Once again, we are talking to Kevin McPherson and also Dr. El Hagan here on the Revive platform today. Today's show is entitled Man Up. We are highlighting Men's Health Week as well as Men's Health Month. So, Kevin, I am going to get into my next question. When it comes to sperm counts, what is one thing that you would recommend, you know, instead of going to, or how should I say, instead of sperm counts, I'm sorry, erections, when it comes to having erectile dysfunctions, what is one thing that you would recommend to men out here instead of going to, you know, drugs such as Viagra or stimulating pills that you make and get at your local corner store? What is one thing that you would recommend?
Breathing. Breathing. Here's the thing. The Viagra drug was actually made for surgeons. And surgeons were using that to actually provide enough oxygen in the system to make sure that the person was going to stay alive. And so the doctors initially gave out Viagra for that reason, you know, because it actually pumps a lot of blood or oxygen into your system overall. Okay. They started noticing that the patients who were laying on a table, a lot of times they were laying there with a hard on. They were getting a lot of oxygen in their system. And so the doctors or the medical profession decided to use this drug to actually make some money in another way. Now, they probably still use it for surgery, but essentially that's what it is. So if you have a problem with getting an erection, for the most part, probably is because you don't have really good oxygen in your system. And so to breathe properly on a regular basis, then that's going to be helpful to make sure that you have enough oxygen in your system so that you can actually get an erection if you need one. So that's what I would suggest, that people learn how to breathe and how to make sure that they're constantly getting enough circulation around their body with their blood, and to make sure that everything is circulating so they can constantly have fresh blood in all the parts of their body. So that's what I would say.
Awesome. And what about you, Dr. El-Haggan?
Well, as far as things to take, one of the age-old plants that's very, very beneficial, especially to help in that area, is ginseng. And ginseng is a good thing for males. There's another herb called tian qi. It's a Chinese herb that helps with circulation, and it helps distribute the oxygen better. But like Kevin said, if you don't have enough oxygen in your blood, that's going to be a mute issue. People don't breathe very well in general because they slouch over, so their lungs don't get full capacity. Their breathing is very shallow. When they sit in a chair, they slouch down. Their posture is bad. Most people do not do a significant amount of exercise, so they're not robust. A lot of people carry their cell phone in their pocket, and so the cell phone affects the radiation from the cell phone cuts right into killing the sperm cells off, because that, you know, that's one of the areas of cell activities. Of course, the cell phone companies want to try to act like that radiation is not important. They should have another, and along that same line, a lot of women carry their cell phone tucked down into around where their breasts are. That's a good way to start setting up breast cancer. So having a cell phone in your pocket or having it on your body at all times, as long as it's turned on, is emitting radiation the whole time, and that's breaking down your system. So other thing that men can do herbally-wise, they can eat raw pumpkin seeds, because that actually supports the prostate. And the prostate is the gland that is right between the body and the penis that actually controls the blood flow to the penis and enables a person to maintain a good erection. Also, it helps with the sperm. It helps a lot of things. It helps in more ways than it's been reported to us. But keeping good prostate health is really, really, really important. Then aloe vera, keeping the colon cleaned out. The colon is the large intestine. That's the way that you get waste out of your body. That's the sewage system of the body. But that large intestine is right next to the prostate. If it's filthy in there because a person eats all kind of junk food that doesn't digest, and it sits in there and rots, some of that rotting penetrates through the membrane of that intestinal tract and go in and poison the prostate gland. That's thereby heating it up, and it's going to kill the sperm cells as well as poisoning the bloodstream.
Okay. So does that lead into like prostate cancer, or why people, it's a big thing when it comes to African American males, why they are, you know, leading when it comes to catching prostate cancer or getting prostate cancer, I should say?
Yes. Yeah. Because all while the people are out there having fun doing whatever, smoking cigarettes, smoking a lot of weed, drinking, carrying on, eating any old kind of thing, not being concerned, not trying to stay up all night long as much as they can, and trying to have as much sex as possible, all of that stuff systematically breaks the body down over a period of time, until by the time they get like 45, they don't have that spark like they used to have. And then if you don't have strength in your body, if you don't have energy in your body, you cannot ward off disease very easily.
And what about you, Kevin? What's your 2 cents?
And I would say that, you know, with when you're eating pumpkin seeds actually is loaded with zinc. And zinc actually cleans out the prostate gland, which is too small for you to actually stick your finger down there and clean it out. If you're eating a lot of zinc foods, for example, if you're eating oysters, they say it will help you, get an erection. Well, it'll actually have a lot of zinc in it, so it'll help to clean out the prostate. If you're eating, if you eat meat and you're eating beef and things like that, it will help. But meat in general does not actually get cleaned out of your system. But if you're eating spinach or if you're eating nuts, that would be a way to actually get more zinc in your system, and it'll actually clean out the prostate gland, and that will help you out. And then if you're doing exercises as well, that will help to clean out your have everything moving around a lot more effectively. So that's my 2 cents.
So before I let you guys go today here on the Revive platform, once again, we are speaking with Kevin McPherson and also Dr. L. Hagan. They're dropping so much knowledge on us here today. I'm thankful for both of you guys coming onto the platform because you taught me so much just out of this conversation we had today. But I'm going to start with you, Kevin. What would be some tips that you would leave for the listening audience, for all the men who are listening, going into another Father's Day, you know, with their sons, so maybe they can teach their sons something too. What would be some tips that you would leave for them?
Well, I would say that probably you want to have a healthy diet. Healthy diet that doesn't... excuse me, that doesn't necessarily mean tons of meat, but it also doesn't mean that you have to skip the meat in particular. Fresh fruits and vegetables, and again, when I say eating fresh fruits and vegetables, I'm talking about eating organic. So at the highest level, you want to eat at the highest level. So eating fresh fruits and vegetables on a daily basis, getting some exercise, walking around so that you're breathing, and breathing a full breath from the top of your lung through the bottom of your lung to keep the air circulating so that it's good for you overall. That would be the only thing that I would say. You want to maintain a high level of health, and that's really what most people would say is lifestyle, but that's essentially living at a high end so that you can actually get the best for your overall life.
And what about you, Dr. L. Hagan?
I would say start looking at yourself more and deeper. Stop being so mean and stop being closed-minded. Like there's only one way and that's my way. Start listening more carefully to people around you, even if you disagree with them. Like I don't promise to like what you have to say to me, but I do promise to listen and consider, because you might some kind of way be able to tell me a little something that can get me to improve myself, and I want to improve myself. I would make myself available to learn knowledge about herbs, about wellness. In this time period, there's more knowledge available on wellness than ever before in history. It's not just relegated to the dicterns of science or to the realms of medical technology. It's available everywhere. And if you really seek, you can really find. The most powerful way to be well is to be educated. Mm-hmm. And education is available. You got people like Kevin. You got people like me. You got shows, programs like this one that we're listening to right now that help to make you more sensitive to knowledge that's out there that may not have come to you before. But the Bible says, seek and ye shall find, not seek and you may find. You will find if you really want to know. Because like Kevin, I've known Kevin for a long time. He always been a seeker. I know me for a long time. I have always been a seeker. I want to know everything. Whether I can know it or not is not my concern. I want to know everything. Mm-hmm. I want to put myself in a position to know And I'm learning things on this broadcast tonight from both of you. I appreciate it. So that's the kind of way that I want to be. So I would say, stop being so blockheaded, everybody. And, you know, loosen it up. We're on this earth to live, and we're on this earth to have a good time. Not to be all grumbled up and angry all the time and frustrated. If there's a way, you should be willing to find the way. And don't think that somebody else, just because they have more education, you can find a way that you can't. Because you live with yourself all the time. You know what you need to discover. Mm-hmm. Like, I discovered something today. I discovered this program that we're on. I am so excited about that program because somebody took and applied some thought to putting together a show that could really reach many people.
Thank you.
That's major. So I kind of got carried away, but, you know, thank you all.
No, I was tuned in, so I know everybody else who's listening is tuning in. I thank you for your kind words as well. But Dr. El-Haggan, if you can go ahead and let the people know where they can find you, some more information about you, if they want to, you know, participate in any of your wellness groups that you do or any, you know, any activity that you may have going on in the future, how can they find a little bit more information or, you know, just to come see you in general?
Okay. We got a program that happens every Thursday at 5702 Winfield Avenue in Philadelphia called Living Without Cancer. And that helps people to understand what cancer really is and how to be preventative and how not to be high risk, et cetera. But you could find me on Facebook. Now, my name is spelled E-L-H-A-G-A-H-N. That's E-L-H-A-G-A-H-N. So if you reach me on Yahoo, it's elhaggan@yahoo.com. If you get me on Facebook, it's elhaggan, however they do Facebook. And also the phone number, 215-240-6360. And then the website, elhaggan.synthesite.com, elhaggan.synthesite.com, elhaggan.synthesite.com.
Awesome. I thank you once again. I'm sorry, I thought I cut you off. Did I cut you off, doctor?
I said bless everybody, and thank you.
Awesome. I was just going to say thank you, too. Thank you as well for coming on the Revive platform and supporting us today, especially with all the knowledge that you brought forth today. I hope they were listening. I know they were listening, actually, and I hope they hit you up as well because I know you do have a lot of engagements going on in the Philadelphia area. Shakia reached out, and she told me so much about you, so I just appreciate you coming onto the Revive platform once again today. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And you, Kevin, can you go ahead and let the people know about your upcoming events that you are having, as well as where they can find you, how they can, you know, come and do some wellness practices with you as well? How can they get in contact with you?
They would send stuff to Eldaud at Healing Mother Spirit. That's Eldaud at Healing Mother Spirit, HealingMotherSpirit.com. If you want to call me, you can call me at 267-322-0527.
Awesome. And do you have any
and
social
media? That's how you would be able to. Pardon me now?
Do you have any social media?
Not at this particular point. I do not do social media. I think when I first heard about social media, I just really couldn't get into that. But if you write to me, then I will respond to you. If you call me, I will respond to you. And I'm currently doing workshops with the city, but hit me up. Maybe we can do some other things.
Awesome. And, Kevin, you do also have a radio show coming up yourself as well that you're trying to do, right?
You said what now?
You also have a radio show coming up as well that you're trying to do, right?
Doing a radio show. I'm doing a radio show on WJYN Radio. That is a plan. I am not on the radio at this particular point, but it's coming. So always listen to that. That's 98.5 AM, if I remember correctly. So hit me up.
And what would
your show be about? If you write to me or you call me, then I can keep you abreast of what's going on.
And what's your show going to be about?
Health and wellness.
Of course. Okay. Okay. So
health
different,
and wellness.
So different topics.
My show is going to be is Beyond Health 100. It will be on the radio. My plan is to do it in the middle of the week on a Wednesday. I'm not sure what the time frames are, so I'm just trying to keep it quiet. But, yeah, that's what I'm planning to do.
Awesome.
And I'll talk about general health. Essentially, I'll have people write in, ask me questions. I'll answer those questions and then take a few questions on the line. And so it'll be a live radio program. So that's what we have going on.
I'm definitely looking forward to that. Definitely some collabs coming in the future too, Kevin. So once again, I appreciate you coming on to the Revive platform, Kevin. I wish you so many blessings in your future endeavors. And I know you're going to succeed with your radio show coming up because of all the knowledge that you brought forth here on Revive. So once again, I thank you for your time and your energy that you brought here today. I appreciate it.
All righty. Well, thank you very much. And I guess I will see you later. I guess you have about 30 seconds to close it on up.
Thank you for that, Kevin. All right. That wraps up another episode of Revive. Once again, shout out to all our guests we had on Revive today. We had Dr. Rob Robinson. We also had Kevin McPherson and also Dr. El Hagan. And we cannot forget about our weekly thrill guest, which was Shaquille Sunflower. So I thank everyone for coming onto the Revive platform today and just showcasing their talents, dropping so much knowledge on us and the listeners as well, because I learned so much today, you know, just having different conversations today and conversing with different leaders in their fields and what they actually do. It was very important that we brought forth, you know, men's health here today on Revive because of Men's Health Week and also Men's Health Month, especially because Father's Day is coming up this Sunday. So we want you guys, if you listen to the show today here on Revive, we want you guys to bring this up at dinner on Father's Day. Make sure you ask your father, like, yo, dad, when was the last time you got checked for cancer? When was the last time you worked out? When was the last time, you know, you had, if this is inappropriate, an erectile dysfunction, anything like that, you know what I mean? We want to have these different conversations. We want to converse with our families and also different people in our communities so we can be enlightened on what's going on out here. It's important that we do so, and we have to make sure that they're speaking out, you know what I mean? You don't never want your dad to be at his last straw and you're just now finding out that, you know, he may have had some problems this entire time. So if you have these conversations at the dinner table, you will be aware. You will have knowledge on what's going on in your family, especially with men, because men tend to shy away from having those conversations. Men tend to shy away from going to see different physicians, going to see doctors, just looking into a healthier lifestyle, you know, going to see health counselors, nutritionists such as Kevin and Dr. El Hagan. It's important that we do that to know how to eat properly and how, you know, food in our diets can definitely take a toll on us in our everyday lives. So it's important that we do so. So I hope you guys are going to have that conversation this Sunday with your dads. I hope you really do, because it's important that we do so. We're losing our men each and every day, whether it's to, you know, whether it's to diets, physical abuse, violence, anything, you know what I mean? And we want to keep each other around for as long as possible. We don't want to be the exterminators. Definitely, we're not trying to be the exterminators or the exterminator to ourselves. So definitely just do your research and choose a healthier lifestyle. I'm encouraging each and everybody who is listening to the Revive platform, women as well, to choose a healthier lifestyle. And if you are listening, share the word to your husband, your friend, your brother, your uncle, your dad, anybody. Share the word and let them know living in a healthier lifestyle doesn't mean you're a punk. Doesn't mean, you know, it's going to make you any less of a man, anything like that. You know, being healthy and knowing that I can count on you in a physical shape, in a physical form, is what really matters. So definitely just do your research and stay healthy. Once again, tell everyone we are live on Time for an Awakening each and every Wednesday, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. And we are live on Time for an Awakening each and every Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. I'm sorry, I get my days mixed up. And also, we are live tweeting each and every time on Revive at Revive_POC. You can also follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Revive_POC. On Twitter, we are trying to get 1,000 followers before June 30th. So definitely stay tuned. Push that blue button, turn it green, and support this Revive platform so we can continue to grow. We can continue to thrive each and every day. Also, once again, a PSA, we are not going to be live Sunday, June 18th. Once again, the Revive platform is not going to be live Sunday, June 18th. Why? Because I'm going home to make sure I have that conversation with my dad, especially everything that I learned here on Revive today with my guests. I'm going to go home and make sure I have a great conversation with me and my sister. We're going to converse with our father to make sure that he's getting regular checkups, you know what I mean? And he is all good, 100% healthy. So I'm going home this weekend to, you know, spend time with my dad. So I won't be live on the air this Sunday, but we will still have a pre-recorded show playing for you guys at 11 a.m. So definitely tune in so you won't miss the Revive platform, because we still will have a pre-recorded show playing on both TuneIn and the Time for an Awakening website. So definitely stay tuned to that and follow us. Make sure you follow us. I'm pushing this to the forefront. I'm pushing it, pushing it, pushing it. We're trying to get that 1,000 followers by June 30th. Also, I'm going live on Facebook and Twitter tomorrow. I'm speaking at a community day event tomorrow in Philadelphia. So I will be going live around 2 p.m. if I'm not mistaken, around 2 p.m. For the speaking engagement that I'll be doing in Philadelphia. As well, I'll be going live at 7:30 a.m. for Comments with Consciousness. Take your morning commute with me, your girl POC. You know what time it is. I'll be back on the air next Wednesday.